Blog Talk Radio.
In these days of tea parties and constitution rallies, we're all looking back to our founding fathers for a little bit of wisdom. Samuel Adams said, "It does not take a majority to prevail, but rather an irate, tireless minority, keen on setting the brush fires of freedom in the hearts of men." This is the voice of an irate, tireless minority of one. We'll be talking about politics, religion, and doing what's right. And you can call me Mom.
You're lost, you don't know where you are, you're all alone. You're in the dark and you don't know where to find the light.
Howdy, 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 and welcome to this week's show, Who Will Guard the Guard? And I am playing on a little quote there that usually means who's going to watch over the watchers, who's going to make sure that those who are supposed to be making sure that everything's going right is going right. But in this case, it means something else. Howdy, Red Fox blogger, glad to see you in the chat room today. And I hope you'll get some company in there sooner or later. But I'm going to move right into the show with the California National Guard. The National Guard messed up. They messed up big time. Big time. And here's the article for that. Most of these articles are from the Los Angeles Times. And, I got to scroll back up because I got messed up on my stuff there. There we are. Thousands of California soldiers forced to repay enlistment bonuses a decade after going to war. Because we were short of troops to fight in Iraq and Afghanistan a decade ago, and I remember this. I remember the call. I remember people were getting offers even though they were over the minimum age to enlist and stuff. The California National Guard enticed thousands of soldiers with bonuses of $15,000 or more to reenlist and go to war. Hey, that rhymes. I wonder if they did that on purpose. Probably not. Now the Pentagon is demanding the money back. Nearly 10,000 soldiers, many of whom served multiple combat tours, have been ordered to repay large enlistment bonuses, not just enlistment bonuses, but student loans, too, because the Guard also has a student loan program, and apparently they messed that up, too. And slapped with interest charges, wage garnishments, and tax liens if they refuse, after audits revealed widespread overpayments by the California Guard at the height of the war's last decade. Investigations have determined that lack of oversight allowed for widespread fraud and mismanagement by California Guard officials under pressure to meet enlistment targets. So do you get that? The fault is that they weren't paying attention and they were putting lots of pressure on people to enlist, to get people to enlist. We need to fill these ranks. Come on, people. Meet these enlistment goals. Probably got bonuses for meeting them. But now, soldiers say the military is reneging on 10-year-old agreements and imposing severe financial hardship on veterans whose only mistake was to accept bonuses offered when the Pentagon needed to fill ranks. The bonuses were used to keep people in, people who otherwise would have gone into the workforce, people who otherwise might have not signed up, people who otherwise would have done something else with their lives than offer to lay it down for you and me. Okay? Says Christopher Van Meter, 42-year-old former Army captain, Iraq veteran from Manteca, California, who says he refinanced his home mortgage to repay $25,000 in reenlistment bonuses and $21,000 in student loan repayments that the Army says he should not have received. people like me just got screwed, and excuse my language, but that's what the man said. In Iraq, Van Meter was thrown from an armored vehicle turret and later awarded a Purple Heart for his combat injuries after the vehicle detonated a buried roadside bomb. Susan Haley, a Los Angeles native and former Army Master Sergeant who deployed to Afghanistan in 2008, said she sends the Pentagon $650 a month. Okay, I don't know about in California. Actually, I do know about in California because I know people who live there. But here in Wisconsin, that's rent for a nice apartment. Okay, $650 a month. You can rent a pretty nice place for that here. Well, some places here. A quarter of her family's income to pay down $20,500 in bonuses that the guard says were given to her improperly. I feel totally betrayed, said Haley, 47, who served 26 years in the Army, along with her husband and oldest son, a medic who lost a leg in combat in Afghanistan. She now lives in Kempner, Texas, and she worries that they may have to sell their house to repay the bonuses. They'll get their money, but I want those years back, she said, referring to her six-year enlistment. Okay, and this goes on and on and on and on. So what we've got here is there was a big change in how business was done because they needed people. A real sea change in how business was done. The system paid everybody up front, and then we spent the next 5 years figuring out if they were eligible. That's not how it's supposed to work. If you neglect the little details, you get into trouble when the big ones come due. The National Guard Bureau, the Pentagon agency that oversees state guard organizations, has acknowledged that bonus overpayments occurred in every state at the height of the two wars. Blah. But the money was handed out far more liberally in the California Guard, which has about 17,000 soldiers and is one of the largest state guard organizations. In 2010, after reports surfaced of improper payments, a federal investigation found that thousands of bonuses and student loan payments were given to California Guard soldiers who did not qualify for them or were approved despite paperwork errors. Okay, and this goes on and on and on and on. And we've got Robert Richmond, former Army Sergeant, First Class. I signed a contract that I literally risked my life to fulfill. And he was stunned to receive a letter from the California Guard headquarters in 2014 telling him to repay the $15,000 and warning he faced debt collection action if he failed to comply. Now, this is egregious, okay? Egregious. And then we've got Brian Strother, a Sergeant First Class from Oroville, north of Sacramento, spent 4 years fighting guard claims that he owed $25,010.32 for mistaken bonuses and student loans. Guard officials told Strother that he had voided his enlistment contract by failing to remain a radio operator, his assigned job during and after a 2007 to 2008 deployment in Iraq. Now, I'm looking at that and I'm saying, you sent this man to Iraq. You sent him to Iraq where people are fighting and dying. And somebody in Iraq undoubtedly said, yo, we need you to do this instead of that. And commanders in the field should be able to do that. They should be able to say, pull that guy off of here, put him over there. We're changing his assignment. That does not mean that you get to retake the enlistment bonus. I'm sorry, that's just wrong. Strother filed a class action lawsuit in February in a federal district court in Sacramento on behalf of all soldiers who got bonuses, claiming the California Guard conned them into reenlisting. The suit asked the court to order the recovered money to be returned to the soldiers and to issue an injunction against the government barring further collection. In August, Strother received a letter from the Pentagon waiving repayment of his bonus. Oh, you think that's wonderful, right? All good? All wonderful? He doesn't have to worry about it anymore. We believe he acted in good faith in accepting the $15,000, a claims educator from the Pentagon's Defense Legal Services Agency wrote in the letter. He still owed $5,000 in student loan repayments, it said. Within weeks, lawyers for U.S. Attorney Philip A. Talbert in Sacramento petitioned the court to dismiss Strother's lawsuit, arguing that it was moot since most of his debt had been waived. federal judge is supposed to rule on the government's motion by January. Did you get that? Did you get that? What they did was they said, oh, you're suing us? Well, I guess we don't, I guess you're right. We should just waive it because you accepted that money, that bonus money in good faith. So we're just going to waive it. Oh, and by the way, you don't have a suit anymore because you have no standing because we're not going after you anymore. See how that works? Lawfare. Golly. makes you feel for Mark Twain when he said, first thing we do is kill all the lawyers, doesn't it? And I'm checking my chat room here, and I see we've got Bigfoot, a guest. Hello, guest. Hello, Bigfoot. And LD1, along with Red Fox Blogger. So glad to see you, and nice. Thanks for joining me in the chat room. Now, you would think, oh, my gosh, we've got to talk to the government. Congress is outraged, right? We have a second link here that says, from American Military News, breaking, Congress furious, Pentagon backing off. Congress demands Pentagon to stop forcing troops to pay back bonuses. Excuse me. Congress is furious after roughly 10,000 California National Guard troops been ordered to pay back their bonuses, blah, 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 blah. After an intense media and congressional fury, Pentagon officials are now trying to waive the troops' debt, and Congress is threatening to pass a law to resolve the issue. Okay, first of all, this is not Congress's business, not Congress's job. Got nothing to do with Congress, basically. This is the military branch. This, you know, but Congress, oh, we've got to turn to Congress for everything. Congress has got to help us, blah, 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 blah. So this goes on about members of Congress seeking an official inquiry to waive the debts and all this other stuff. Right? Right? Unfortunately for Congress, they knew. Another article in the Los Angeles Times. Congress knew for at least 2 years about Pentagon efforts to take back bonuses from veterans. Because this isn't a new story. This has been going on for years now. California National Guard told the state's members of Congress 2 years ago that the Pentagon was trying to claw back reenlistment bonuses from thousands of soldiers and even offered a proposal to mitigate the problem, but Congress took no action. So, what do we do? What do we do? But as I said, this is really, really not Congress's bailiwick, is it? It's not really their job to deal with it. This is the president's job. You would think that the commander-in-chief should deal with this. Here's our next article, Los Angeles Times. Defense Secretary orders Pentagon to stop collecting California National Guard bonus repayments. Okay, and this is from the 26th, which is today. Secretary of Defense Ashton Carter on Wednesday ordered the Pentagon to suspend efforts to claw back enlistment bonuses improperly given to thousands of California National Guard members during the height of the Iraq War. His orders follow a Los Angeles Times report Saturday that said the Pentagon was demanding repayments from blah, 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 blah. And let's see here. The Pentagon demands for reimbursement sparked widespread public outrage, as they should, especially since the California Guard insisted it had warned members of Congress about the problem in 2014. On Tuesday, Mr. Obama, they say president, but you know how I feel about that, Mr. Obama ordered the Pentagon to expedite its review of the overpayments. In a statement, Carter said he had ordered the Defense Finance and Accounting Service, the Pentagon agency responsible for collecting the repayments, to suspend all efforts to collect reimbursements from affected California National Guard members, effective as soon as it is practical. Now, I want to tell you here, I just want to break in. One of these guys repaid $10,000, but the problem is that when he received that $10,000, he was taxed on it. $3,000 of that went to the IRS. So now he's had to repay the entire amount. Is the IRS going to give him back his $3,000? What do you think? Are they? Ha! When donkeys fly, I suspect. Anyway, so they're ordered to suspend all efforts to collect reimbursements from affected California National Guard members, effective as soon as it's practical. He said the suspension would continue until I am satisfied that our process is working effectively. Really? Really? That means until the public furor has died down, and then he can go back to harassing these people. Ordered a team of senior defense officials to assess the situation, create a streamlined, centralized process that ensures the fair and equitable treatment of our service members and rapid resolution of these cases. The goal is to resolve the cases by July 1st, 2017. He did not indicate if the Pentagon was prepared to waive all debts, and I would guess they're not, which include millions of dollars in student loans to California Guard members. Now, student loans, they're paying back anyway. Right? I don't see how that's such a big deal. Isn't education the most wonderful thing on earth? And shouldn't everybody get one? And Carter said that while many soldiers did not know the payments were improper, some soldiers knew or should have known that they were ineligible for benefits they were claiming. Right. And you know how that works? How that works is the guy saying, we want you to re-up for another stretch, for another couple years. You might not be eligible for this, but why don't you put the paperwork through just in case, and then you can see if you're eligible, and then you can make your decision, right? Or something like that. Because we need bodies, bodies on the ground. Ultimately, we will provide for a process that puts as little burden as possible on any soldier who received an improper payment through no fault of his or her own. You other guys, if we think that you knew, you're on the hook. And to some degree, rightfully, they should be. But here's the thing. This is not a business proposition. This is, we're asking you to die for us. Here's a bonus. And then 10 years after you have gone through hell and high water, excuse my language, we are going to take the money back. About 2,000 soldiers have been told to repay improper payments. Audits determined they were ineligible for bonuses and may have to repay some or all of the money unless Congress takes steps to forgive the debts. Really? Because I suppose Congress is in charge of the purse strings. But the California Guard also has demanded repayments from another 7,700 current or former soldiers whose bonuses have been found to have paperwork errors, missing documentation, or other problems. Really? So for paperwork errors, you're going to put these people through legal and financial hell when they have risked their lives for this country. Really? Really? The last line of this article is my opinion. The Pentagon needs to do more than just halt the recouping. It needs to pay them back with interest. How many of these people lost their homes? How many of these people who put their lives on the line for us lost their families because of marital strife over this financial and legal pressure? How many of them lost their credit rating? How many of them have been paying back with interest that they couldn't afford? This is absolutely outrageous. Outrageous. So that's that section, and I've used a goodly part of my time. I may revisit it because that's just so outrageous. You know who should pay for this? We should. We offered them the bonuses. They took them. They risked their lives for us. That's money well spent. Congress, get off your keisters and get busy. Now, I did send an email to the lawyers for both the government and Mr. Struthers to ask if they would be on the show, but I've heard nothing from them, so I'm assuming they won't. But if they do, I will have them on and we will talk to them. Let's see now. Oh, taking the fifth, let's head on over to Judicial Watch. Judicial Watch announced today, and this would be October 24th, Clinton State Department IT official John Bentel takes Fifth Amendment during Judicial Watch deposition. Announced today that another witness in the Clinton email matter asserted his Fifth Amendment rights during a Judicial Watch deposition today. The deposition of John Bentel, State Department former Director of Information Resource Management of the Executive Secretariat, SESIRM. Boy, that's a title for you, huh? It was ordered by Judge Emma G. Sullivan. The SESIRM is the office that handles information technology for the Office of the Secretary. So they are the guys in charge of the email systems, messaging systems, making sure that it's secure, right? That's their job. They have policies and procedures in place to protect the State Department from hacking, which is why you're not supposed to have a private server on which you do government business there. So, Mr. Bentel, on advice of Obama Justice Department and personal counsel, refused to answer any questions about whether Hillary Clinton was paying his legal fees, offering him employment, or other financial incentives. There were three government attorneys and two personal attorneys present for the deposition. Okay, really? Obama Justice Department is defending this person. Don't they work for us? He has personal attorneys. Why does he need our attorneys? This just irks me. It irks me. I understand you have the right to take the fifth, but at some point, don't you say, the preservation of the republic is more important than my personal fate. Don't you? And couldn't you plea bargain? If you had that position, couldn't you plea bargain to say, hold me unaccountable and I'll tell you everything? They've given all these waivers to everybody else. Okay. On August 19th, Judge Sullivan granted Judicial Watch's request to depose Bentel, citing significant discrepancies in Bentel's previous statements on the Clinton non-state government email system. The court is persuaded he should be deposed because the record in this case appears to contradict his sworn testimony before the House Benghazi Committee. Specifically, he testified he was not aware that Secretary Clinton's email account was housed on a private server until media reports in 2015. Really? Really? I'm expected to believe that? You're the head of IT for this place, and I'm expected to believe you didn't know that the Secretary of State was doing business on a private server? That's a little far-fetched. However, several emails indicate Mr. Bentel knew about the private server as early as 2009. You think? In ordering his deposition, he also cited a Inspector General's report that found Mr. Bentel told employees in his office that Secretary Clinton's email arrangement had been approved by the State Department's legal staff and also instructed his subordinates not to discuss the Secretary's email again. Uh-huh. In one meeting, one staff member raised concerns that information sent and received on Secretary Clinton's account could contain federal records that needed to be preserved in order to satisfy federal record-keeping requirements. Good employee! Kudos to that one! And that's not even talking about the possibility of being hacked and treason. That's just saying, hey, the law says these things are supposed to be preserved for federal record-keeping requirements. According to the staff member, the director stated that the secretary's personal system had been reviewed and approved by department legal staff and that the matter was not to be discussed any further. According to the other SESIRM staff member who raised concerns about the server, the director stated that the mission of SESIRM is to support the secretary and instructed the staff never to speak of the secretary's personal email system again. You know what that tells me? That tells me this is treason, and it tells me that it was approved by Mr. Obama. Approved by Mr. Obama. It would have had to have been, wouldn't it? Who would the Secretary of State have to go to get approval to override all the procedures and policies regarding this sort of thing on her watch? Who would have to grant that approval? The only one higher than the Secretary of State is the POTUS. Right? I mean, come on, people. If you're not an idiot, you know that those orders came directly from Mr. Obama, which is treason because he is aiding and abetting our enemies by allowing the Secretary of State to have an unsecured email server. That's absolutely what happened. He knew it. He sent emails to and received emails from that account. He knew. Everybody knew except Congress and the people. It absolutely outrageous. All right, we got 5 minutes left, so I better move on. And I'm sorry, Gotti, but, you know, really, who listens to my show? You people in the chat room, golly, I appreciate you so much for showing up. Makes me feel a little less lonely. But nobody's listening to me, and everybody listens to Gotti. So I'm going to scoop him a little bit. And what we have here is an article on IsraelNationalNews.com. The headline is, Watch Muslims Sit on Jewish Prayer Shawls in Airport Shul. Jews in Ben-Gurion Airport were dismayed, to discover Turkish Muslims praying in the airport's shul. Now, the shul is the Jewish church in the airport. There's a little Jewish church in the airport, apparently. And on the eve of the holiday of Simchat Torah, some Jews in Ben-Gurion Airport went to the shul ostensibly to pray, and they found Turkish Muslims using their prayer shawls as prayer rugs in their church. Now, for those who don't know, if a Muslim has prayed in a church that is not a mosque, they count that church as conquered for Allah. It's now Islamic. It's now a mosque. It's been prayed in. It's been conquered. They have conquered the shul in Ben-Gurion Airport. And in Muslims' view of history, from now on, that shul belongs Islam forever. So if anybody kicks them out, they can now get all upset and claim that they own it, that Allah owns it forever, and that they are being treated like the victims because they're being kicked out of their own place. Because that's how Islam works, if you haven't been paying attention. So yeah, all you interfaith people who are bringing Muslims into your Christian churches, guess what? They're now Muslim mosques. Forever, in perpetuity. They can claim to be offended by when you pray there in your own church because you brought the enemy in. It's like the old vampire lore that the vampire can't get in unless you open the window for him. Evil can't come in unless you open the door. Well, when you invite the evil in, you open the door, and now you lose. There we are. Okay, now, among all this nastiness, I have a little bit of good news. And this is from ADFLegal.org. That's Alliance Defending Freedom. And the headline is, Court, and this is from October 19th, so it's a little dated, but Court reaffirms rights of local schools to protect student privacy in locker rooms. Okay. Regarding a district court limited nationwide order Tuesday in the state of Texas versus the United States of America, a judge reaffirmed that the Obama administration cannot hold hostage the privacy rights and dignity interests of boys and girls across America. The federal court's affirmation of its previous order halting the Obama administration's unlawful threats against schools across the nation preserves the authority of local schools to act in the best interest of their students and not out of fear of being stripped of their federal funding. The court made clear that the Obama administration's unlawful actions put children at risk, as it does, and that it cannot unilaterally disregard and redefine federal law to accomplish its political agenda of forcing girls to share locker rooms and showers with boys. Schools have a duty to protect the privacy, safety, and dignity of all students, and this order ensures that they may continue to fulfill that duty. So praise the Lord for that small light of sanity in a world gone mad. For now, anyway. And with that, I have had my 60-second warning. Though we are all an irate, tireless minority of one, we can all make a difference, and we're all supposed to. And thanks again for joining me, Larry and Kel and everybody else in the chat room. Oh, we've got 69007, you're new. And Bigfoot, always Bigfoot. I love seeing Bigfoot. Bye-bye.